We are multilingual people. Let's not forget, almost all professions have their language. And being on a board has a language. It's the language of governance. It's the language of the audit committee. We already have learned two languages. Let's embrace the language of our profession or of the career we want to have.
Hola, I'm Claudia Romo Edelman.
And I'm Cynthia Kleinbaum-Milner.
And this is a podcast, A la Latina, the playbook to succeed being your authentic self. Today, an incredible guest, Adela Cepeda, general partner of Angeles Ventures. And here are the three key takeaways of this podcast.
Number one, devote 10 to 20% of your time to learning. Continuous learning is going to enable you to grow.
Number two, we are already multilingual as Latinos, so it's important to speak the language of the profession and places you want to be involved in. For example, if you're interested in getting on a board, learn the board language.
And speaking of getting on a board, she gave us a playbook for how we can get on a board. And that starts with being an expert on your field and getting visibility and exposure.
All of that and more here at A la Latina. Cynthia, you're the Chief Marketing Officer of MoneyLion, but let me ask you, what is MoneyLion?
MoneyLion is a finance app that was created to help everyone make better financial decisions because the financial services industry has historically been very focused on people that already have money. And MoneyLion for the last 10 years has been building products for the average American, products that will actually help you reach your financial dreams. I'll give you the example of our Roar Money account, which is a banking product that has all the features of premium banking checking accounts, like no minimum balances, no hidden fees, no ATM fees at over 55,000 locations. The list goes on and on. But we also build some very unique features for people like our Latino community. We have something called roundups. If you have spare change, instead of just spending it on whatever, you can invest it automatically and start building wealth. And for those moments when your paycheck hasn't arrived and you need a little bit of cash, we have a product called InstaCash, and you can get up to $1,000 in a cash advance. We also have the educational content that is really fun to watch, but actually helps you make financial decisions, and a community of what we call money lions, like our Latinos, who help each other out in their journey to their American dream.
So how can Latinos and myself get ongoing with MoneyLion?
Download the app. You can do that either on moneylion.com or in the App Store or Google Store.
Today, Adela Cepeda.
Adela is a business leader with more than 40 years of experience in the finance field.
She has advised municipalities and corporations on the structuring and execution of capital market transactions exceeding $150 billion.
She is a board member of UBS Funds, Mercer Funds, BMO Bank, and a board chair of Pathway Funds, Angeles Investors, which has a mission to find, fund, and grow the most promising Hispanic and Latinx ventures.
On the non-for-profit side, Adela is on the board of Teatro Vista, a non-for-profit theater-based company dedicated to multidisciplinary artists of color, the NACD Chicago chapter, and Rush University.
So many things.
Incredible to have you, Adela. You're a true trailblazer.
Oh, thank you.
It's a true honor to have you with us today. And we would like to start this podcast, A la Latina with Adela Cepeda, asking you about our favorite subject, which is you. What is your background? What made you be who you are and what you do today?
Yeah, thanks. Thanks so much. I'm really excited to be here with the two of you and with an audience that's interested in what Latinas are doing. Listen, I'm totally a product of my background and my family. My family immigrated to the United States in 1964, and they brought me as a six-year-old with one mission, which was repeated to us every single day. We left everything so that you could be well-educated and become a professional. The education I understood. It meant going to school. I thought to do well. The being a professional, not so clear exactly what. My father would say, I don't want you to work with your hands like I do. He did air conditioning and refrigeration. And I want you to be in an office like your mother. I think occasionally they might have said, you know, be a doctor, but they weren't that specific, but be a professional. And it was so repeated and so much a part of what drove them that, you know, eventually it gets into you and that becomes your goal. So when did it stop being their dream and become my dream? I can't tell you for sure. I knew I was competitive and wanted to be the best in school. And then, fortunately, my mom had some background in education, and she thought it was a good thing to go to Harvard. My father thought it was better if I stayed and went to school on Long Island, where we were then residing. But she said, no, she needs to go to Harvard. And that was that.
Very easy to get in, no? So she said, you should go to Harvard, and you just showed up with your
Well, suitcase. No, I had already gotten in, but I had many choices. Everywhere I applied, I was accepted, Harvard, Yale, Princeton, like that. And then also I had asked for some schools in Long Island because I didn't think I would get into those schools, but I did. And my mom said, oh, no, Harvard.
Can we just backtrack for a second? So you arrived from what country? What was the English level, the understanding of the country? How is it that, you know, how is it that they knew Harvard, but also the Ivy Leagues? And how is it that you made it to apply to them and become, you know, like a student that everybody wanted?
Yeah, they did not know English. My parents struggled with the language. And my father always spoke it not well. They were well-read. My mom had gone through high school. She had been trained to be a teacher. She had wanted to go into law, but it wasn't possible for her. She didn't get a scholarship to go. But she was very smart. And she became a businesswoman in Colombia when women didn't. Certainly when married women didn't. And then when women with children didn't, but she did. And my father, in his business, refrigeration was very important. We're from the coast, so hospitals are, you know, have good air conditioning systems. He worked for the Baptist Hospital. And I think there must have been doctors that came from the U.S. to be volunteers. I don't know. And when we were born and started school, it was very expensive because you have to go to private school in Colombia. And I think the doctor said, why don't you go to the U.S.? Education is free. So they had that idea. Mm-hmm. I don't remember this because I came when I was six, but my mom says the first 2 years, I cried almost every single day because I didn't understand the homework. And I was in like slow classes. I remember that because by third grade, I was in a better class. So they kept moving me up. By fourth grade, third, my father thought it was slow for me. And he went to tell the teacher, she needs more. Mm-hmm. And the teacher didn't like that. And she took a paperback copy of Bambi and threw it at me. I remember, it just flew. And she said, read that and write a report. So I did. By fourth grade, I read, honestly, maybe six times what everybody else did. At least, yeah. Maybe much more. The teacher was keeping track of what we read, and you got a star if you read a book. You know, I read 40 books, and all the kids read 5 books, I don't know. So, you know, that reading helped me get a bigger understanding, a better understanding of the English language. By sixth grade, I was a top student. And by high school, you know, I heard how you got into college from other people. I heard you have to be well-rounded, and that meant you have to be in sports, and you have to be in student government, and you have to, I wasn't good in sports. So I figured all those other things. I was in student government, and I worked. Since I was 12, I worked every day after school.
Wow.
And, you know, when I went for my interview for what you're gonna do in college, and you're in 11th grade, they said Harvard, Yale, and Princeton. And I said, oh, no, I need a local school, mm-hmm. too.
So I want to go back to the previous answer that you gave, because in the little time that I've known you, I can tell that you are a very good listener, that when somebody says something that resonates with you, it can impact your life. Like, you can actually make changes. The two times that you've said it with me today are, the first one, somebody said, you should be well-rounded, and you like really go out
Picked
of your way
up.
To become. And then the second one, which I would love to talk about it, was when you applied to HBS And the dean said, women are not great at the quantitative stuff. Can you tell us about that experience and what you did with that new information?
Yes. One of the questions that you had for me was, how did I get into finance? You've interviewed other women, but not in finance. You know, finance is not historically a field for women. Even recently, I'm reviewing some descriptive material of some leading firms in finance, and it's 30% women. And that's not at the top. That's like, maybe it's 40% at the lower level, and at the top, not 30%. So it's an issue, and finance in particular. Well, I went to Harvard, and it took me a while to figure out what I was going to do. I did study economics, though. And then I wanted to go to Harvard Business School. I was involved in Harvard's student agencies, which is the student business organization. It's where you run a business. I ran the travel agency for 3 years. I was the manager of it. I got hired for a fabulous summer job in AT&T. It was like the leading management program. I got that. I was ready to go to Harvard Business School. I applied the first day the door opened to apply. I walked over there. I delivered my application. When I got back the acceptance, it was not for right away. They asked for a two-year deferral. While that is very common today, it was not common then. So crises for me, what am I going to do? I didn't get in right away. And the dean of students of Harvard walked with me over to the business school to talk to them about it. And the dean of the business school said, yes, it's that we want students to have more business experience. I told him all my experiences. He said, yeah, I think it's good to go and get 2 years of experience. I said, well, that's not so good if you're a woman. When am I going to be able to establish a family? This is going to take so long. He said, listen, this is the way it's going to be. And, you know, the women at HBS have more problems with the quantitative aspect of the program. I said, like what? And he says, Harvard Business School is not known for quantitative. It's known for their case study. But he told me that. I already had a job with AT&T to go to their management program. Based on what he told me, because I wanted to excel at Harvard Business School, I turned down that job and went to find a quantitative program. That's how I got into Smith Barney.
Yeah.
And then I wanted to excel. And that took me 10 years to do.
Listen up, Latinas. In a world where your financial strength is your superpower, Money Lion is a sidekick you didn't know you needed. With top-notch tools and wisdom at your fingertips, it's time to take control and navigate the money maze like a pro. Whether you're saving for that dream vacay or launching your next big venture, Money Lion is here to back you up. Dive in at MoneyLion.com or download the MoneyLion app. Juntas podemos lograr todo.
Are you ready to turn your best ideas into a thriving online business?
Introducing Shopify, your no-excuses business partner. You might not realize, but our podcast, More Than Mamis, it's a business. And we started it, of course, to talk about maternity, not to become an e-commerce expert.
So yeah, we needed some help selling our merch and getting our store up and running. Woohoo! Another sale!
Shopify is a commerce platform revolutionizing millions of businesses worldwide.
No matter if you are a garage entrepreneur or a big business, Shopify is the only tool you need to start and grow your business without the struggle.
With Shopify single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere, giving you the insights you need wherever you are. Sign up for $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/sonoro, all lowercase.
Go to shopify.com/sonoro to take your business to the next level today.
Shopify.com/sonoro.
Okay, so let's take a trip through memory lane. You had a very successful career in corporate America before you started your own firm. Can you talk to us about how did you succeed in corporate America? What was your playbook? What do you think were the decisions that you made, or how did you show up at work that made you so successful?
I worked harder than anybody. There was a time I remember it was like 6 or 7 weeks that I worked every single day. And even though we were investment bankers in Chicago. That's not like investment banking in New York, where you start at 9 and work till 12. No. Everybody there left to go have dinner at 6 o'clock. I came a little bit later, but I stayed much later. And if I had to be there on the weekend, I was, and whatever, so that anybody that needed something to be made by an analyst, if they gave it to me, they knew they were going to get it. I learned. I was curious. I wanted to understand the language of finance, which was honestly like a foreign language. It took me a long time. I can't tell you that I was proficient in it for at least 5 years. It was hard. Even after studying economics, it was very hard. But I learned an incredible tool that I think is so valuable to women, and that is finance. When you can open up a financial statement and understand that company's position in the market, in and of itself, does it need to sell debt? Does it need more debt? Does it need less debt? What is it? What are the features that are making this company great or not? When you can do that, just on the numbers, that's like such an amazing skill.
So working hard was one of the superpowers that you brought to the table to succeed in corporate America. What else? Because I think that hearing that you pick up from others, how did you learn to navigate, which is, you know, like, again, as a first gen coming corporate America, what else did you pick up from others that made you able to be successful?
Yeah, I was the only woman for a while, for a long time, professional woman. I learned how to market, how to sell, how did they position to get the business. So I learned that. I didn't have to use it so much there. But when I had my own businesses, I did.
And why did you decide to leave corporate America?
Well, the business changed. You know, Wall Street is very cyclical. I was always in the capital markets. Mm-hmm. So you go through, like, the last 2 years have been terrible markets for initial public offerings.
Yeah.
That means in investment banking, it's slow now.
Yeah.
M&A is slow. So those are times when, and that was a moment when the firm changed and people left, and I had just had a third child. I didn't want to be, you know, running around the country taking clients to for institutional roadshows to do an IPO, and there were no IPOs to be done, and it was just seemed like a good moment with the third child to stay home for a few years. That's what I planned.
Yeah.
And was everything, it seems to me like you're such a superstar and you have such a bio and resume. Was it everything sort of like, did you have a plan like for the next 30 years of my life, I'm going to do this? Did you have a plan, a strategy, or did just happen to be that you had like the most amazing career?
For the first few years in investment banking, I had a plan. Mm-hmm. That's how I would move up, how much I would make, all of that. But then I took that break.
Yeah.
And
so you did take a break when you had your
first
child.
I had a few months. Uh-huh. But then somebody approached me about starting this new business, an investment management firm. It would be women. I didn't want to do it, but I thought, okay, if we find somebody to financially back up, mm-hmm, so that we get paid something, I'll do it. And we found somebody to financially back us. And so I had said I would do it under those circumstances. I did. I thought it would be, I won't work so hard. You don't work harder than you do for yourself. I needed it to succeed early in starting that. I started that in May of 1991. In January of 1992, my husband was diagnosed with a fatal cancer. It was a secret. The girls were, the youngest wasn't even 2. I needed that business to succeed because I felt if it succeeded, he would feel better. He would not feel pressure. He was a major success, and he was a lawyer and a partner in a law firm. I didn't want him to feel pressure, and I thought if I made this business succeed, that would help him. What else could I do? He died, and the business wasn't enough for what I needed to do with 3 children, a certain lifestyle that I didn't want to deprive them of. because children don't sign up. You know, they sign up for two parents. Now they were only going to have one. I wasn't going to change my lifestyle. I had this great education, this great experience. I was going to succeed at that in a way that they could at least live well.
That's when you sold your business?
No, I left my interest there. I mean, I sold my little interest in the third, mm-hmm. and I started my business advising governments.
Ah, okay.
So suddenly, I was a woman-owned firm advising governments who were supposedly wanting to do business with women. Some of them Latinos, maybe, but mostly women. Mm-hmm. And I just took that as far as I could. I had a lot of help. Look, being in Chicago was a big help. My husband came from a political family. Mayor Daley was great and supportive. And all the other politicos in Illinois were extremely helpful to me. But then I won the New York City account on a lark, just applied and won to be the co-advisor for New York City for their major credits called the general obligation bonds, for their specialized credits. Great experience, had an office here, still have my apartment here. That took me to be the firm that I started to be one of the top 10 in the U.S. Wow. for over 10 years in a
row.
Incredible.
Wow.
No other minority firm was in the top 10 every year. And then I sold it, which was right. It was 20 years old. It was time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I took the course at Elban about scaling.
Wow.
And I thought about growing it, and I didn't have the energy to go more national. I already had the state of Connecticut as well. They're a very supportive state for women and minority-owned businesses. And I said, let me just sell it. Somebody else take it. And I sold to the number one in the industry. They didn't take, you know, they usurped it.
Yeah, that's what they do. One more thing I've learned about you. You somehow learn new things. Like you go from corporate to having your own business and educate yourself. And then educate yourself to be a board member and educate yourself to be the chair. How do you learn new things?
Well, that's the whole fabulous thing about doing things. I mean, you don't want to be doing the same thing over and over and over again. You want to learn. That's what keeps you interested and curious, and you have to have that. Even if you have a business, you have to see how it's changing and how you have to change with it so that it continues to grow. You have to read the tea leaves.
But I like what she's asking. It's like, how do you do that? Like, do you insert yourself on uncomfortable situations? Like, I don't know anything about planting, but I'm going to come to the planting experts. I'm going to start reading things that I don't know. Like, Yeah, exactly.
Well, for example, as a board member, early on in 1992, I think, I was invited to join a board of a closed-end mutual fund. That's a specialized thing. It was I was the first woman, obviously only minority, very young. You usually don't get these opportunities in your 30s. But because of building the woman-owned investment management business, it had received some publicity. So people thought, oh, she knows finance. So they invited me. And then I knew I had a lot to learn. Well, back then there weren't, you know, webcasts and things, but I would go to seminars. I am constantly in seminars about governance of mutual funds, for example. Mm-hmm. When I was on the board of Wyndham Hotels International, I asked them about, you know, getting more expertise. Mm-hmm. They sent me to Harvard Business School to do the course for audit chairs. I'm always going to those programs for board directors.
So could you quantify the amount of time you devote yourself to being learning? Is it 10% of your time, 5% of your time, so
definitely,
that we can put it out there?
Definitely 10 or 20.
There you go. That's one key message. Like, you literally have to save, the way that you put, you know, like 30% of your budget to rent, 20% of your time to learn.
Somebody that you would think she already knows everything needs to know.
No, because there's new rules. There's new things happening, and you have to go and learn it, and you're being paid to represent shareholders as a director, and you have to know when to accept the proposals that are being made by your own advisor, of the investment advisor. You have to have developed judgment. Now, judgment, you know, it's not something like some people have judgment and some people don't. No. Judgment is based on your knowledge of things. Then you're able to go through your brain and, well, that might work because of what you know.
Your experience, yeah.
But not because, oh, I happen to be a person with judgment.
Yeah.
No. You develop judgment because you know. Like, another thing, people talk a lot about the instinctive reaction or, you know, Latinas are instinctive and they just use their instincts. Instinct, it's not a thing. Instinct is the accumulation of everything you know. And suddenly, something in your brain, which is faster than even you can articulate, is telling you, no, no, go this way. It's telling you go this way because it has assessed all the points. And you have to trust that you have those capabilities.
So on boards, that's a dream of every Latina that we interview, is getting to that stage. You are in a multiple boards. You started way earlier than normally people start getting into boards. What have you learned? What advice do you give? How do we get there, truly?
I do think that, you know, there are many more tools today to help you get on a board. For example, we have Latino corporate directors. So you could take advantage of that network, figure out how to get involved there. They have opportunities. There are women corporate directors, but you can't be on the women corporate director organization unless you're already on a board. But at least you could get other opportunities once you are on one board. You could go to some of the events of NACD, National Association of Corporate Directors. And there's Private Directors Association, which, you know, is smaller, and there are smaller private companies, but they show you a lot of opportunities for getting on boards. And the language, again, we are multilingual people. We speak Spanish, we speak English. Let's not forget that almost all professions have their language. And being on a board has a language. It's the language of governance. It's the language of the audit committee. Mm-hmm. Because almost all people on a board do a rotation on audit committee, whether or not they're auditors. I'm not an auditor. I'm just an expert on finances, so I can be an audit chair.
And you speak the board language.
Yes, but it's after the courses and the and, you know, being
and
around
the network,
that, yes,
and the investment,
and talking
learning.
It with the auditors, and you know, so learning the language. We already have learned two languages. Let's embrace the language of our profession or of the career we want to have. And then I do say, look, searching for a board in abstract, that's not productive. You have to be a leader in your field. So the most important thing is to love what you do and distinguish yourself there. Mm-hmm. So the reason I got on that board at a young age is because we had started that money management firm and got a lot of publicity. So suddenly everybody knew we were in finance. Wow, we were starting our own business. Wow, people were giving us millions of dollars to manage for them. Yeah. It turned out not so much, but to the average person, millions is millions. Never mind the men were getting 50 times what we got, but okay. It was something to write about and talk about. And, you know, I find this as a Latina in particular, you need the credentials, the articles, you need all that, because otherwise people like don't believe.
Yeah.
Like, people would tell my father, oh, no, no, your daughter doesn't go to Harvard. He started to carry the letter.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I think they were open to him because he didn't speak English well. And, you know, of course your daughter doesn't.
Yeah.
But I think they're also thinking that maybe when they see us. It doesn't matter to me. I don't go around with the letter. I don't go around with the credential. But one thing, I know what I have, and I know what I know. And I know anybody wants to start a conversation about finance, about what their company strategy should be financially, I can carry that conversation. I can find the holes in their strategy. I can.
So invest in learning the board language. Make sure that you're also seen and that you have visibility and expertise in the area.
Yes.
I think that those are really precious. We want to hear from you of what of the cultural nuances of Latinos you think that we should flip the script that are natural to us, whether we should continue having them or not. And I think that you were speaking about modesty and how humble we are. And how do you think we should flip that?
Well, I think that, you know, I was raised the same way. And I still get uncomfortable. So many awards, recognitions, it makes me uncomfortable. But what I try to do is, how do I bring somebody else to get visibility, to take advantage of my network? I can't, you know, I want other people to make the connections. I've always invested in connecting people in a way that they can advance, that they can reach their goals, and in a way that maybe other people don't do this for others, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't expect something back from someone that I do this for. Someone has already helped me. I do think that it's my responsibility to do it for others. And I want to. And that is the whole point of Angeles Investors.
And take someone with you is that. But you also said that humble and modesty should be not misunderstood as, you know, like a submissive, but as loyal.
Yes, we're just being modest doesn't mean we don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
But I will say that one lesson for corporate success is raise your hand.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that you're bragging because you say, yes, I can do that. If they're looking for somebody to do something that's a little different, to work this weekend, to go out of town, to take on a project, raise your hand because you want to be noticed. You want people to know that you are capable of doing it. But sometimes if you're, you know, going like this because you don't want to take it away from somebody else, no. Raise your hand. Let them decide. Yeah. But make yourself known.
I have to say, Adela Cepeda, this podcast was incredibly insightful and it gave me so much respect for you and your career and as a woman. I am really grateful that you were here with us today.
I think our audience will really enjoy learning from you and seeing that your career path is outstanding. There's so many nuggets of insight and knowledge, but also your willingness to share the ups and downs were great. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I'm excited.
Adela Cepeda, with your knowledge and wisdom, we're going to be able to learn, to lead, and succeed.
A la Latina!
Hola, A la Latina listeners. Meet your financial partner in crime, Money Lion. Elevate your money game with top-notch tools, expert advice, and a community that gets it. Dive in at moneylion.com or download the Money Lion app now. A la Latina is brought to you by Money Lion and produced by Malka Media.